Are you recording?
Yes.
Oh my God. So am I.
Okay. They're going to pull this B-roll and put it in the intro, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. She called it.
You're listening to the Motorsport Network podcast.
Hello and welcome to Motorsport.com's coverage from the Miami Grand Prix. We are here on South Beach in Miami. Glorious day. Talking about the race, all the excitement that we've got coming. Joining me, Mark Mann-Bryans and Emily Selick. We're going to discuss talking points coming into this weekend. It's a real feel-good vibe here, isn't it, coming into race? I think, you know, we're at a stage where we've had five races now. Championships beginning to take shape. Quite an exciting couple of races. We're coming off of the back from the first one in the US. Mark, what's your take on this?
Yeah, there's been some up and downs, I think, so far this season, but the championship in particular is looking quite healthy, isn't it? Regardless of whether the races have been a little bit dull at times with the lack of overtaking, but when you look at the standings at the moment, it is quite entertaining. Coming here as well, you feel Miami's really hitting its stride now. We've been here plenty of years now. I mean, you can work it out earlier on. It's been that long now. We've been coming back here, but just everything around it. And you mentioned the word vibe, and I think that people might almost shirk at that comment, but F1 is about a vibe now. It's not just about what happens on the track, it's about the stuff that happens all around it. And coming here kind of is a microcosm of what Liberty and what F1 wants from now on, isn't it? That's why we came here, essentially.
We've got the perfect person to talk about the vibe and everything that's going on off track. Emily, that's something that you get involved in. You're looking at all the parties. There's loads of films coming out this weekend. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think Miami really is a tentpole race now. I think we're 4 years in, and I think it really, as you say, embodies everything that Liberty was going for with bringing, you know, F1 to the US. But you mentioned films. We've got the F1 movie 2 months away, so we're starting to see some more promotion. They're starting that rollout. I think, you know, we had the Barbie movie summer 2 years ago. I guess we'll see if this becomes the F1 summer. Kimi Antonelli has a WhatsApp commercial that they're promoting as a documentary coming out on Netflix with WhatsApp, which is interesting.
That's a surprise, isn't it? Because it's only his first season in Formula One, you know, coming in as a rookie. It's called The Seat, isn't it?
The Seat, yeah. It's a 45-minute documentary, which is longer than I expected, to be honest. They did something with Lewis last year that was about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. And the F1 Academy series is coming out very, very shortly as well. So, yeah, lots going on.
Lots going on. Talk about Formula One, talking on-track action at the moment. I mentioned before that we are seeing this championship now take shape. We've got Oscar Piastri top after winning in Saudi Arabia. He's 10 points clear of Lando Norris. Talk us through Piastri's mindset at the moment, Mark. How do you think that he's approaching each race? Does he actually believe that he can win this championship?
100%. He might not tell you that, but he's just this calm. He just exudes calmness, I think. You look at those champions we've seen in the past, the champions that we still got on the grid, and that just willingness to go out there, compete and win. He doesn't particularly care about what he says in the media. He doesn't portray himself as this lovable, you know, character that he thinks he needs everyone to swarm around him. He's happy to go out there and do the business. It was strange in Saudi Arabia. He was almost an afterthought when you thought qualifying was all about Lando Norris and the fact that he crashed out and then was calling himself, you know, an idiot in the helmet and things like that.
Swear word.
Exactly, yeah. Then you look at Max went and did what he did, put it on pole position. Then there was the incident at the first corner in the race where Max gets the penalty. And it felt very Max, 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 Lando, Lando, Lando. And maybe actually for someone like Piastri, he's just happy to go, well, while you two are fighting like this, I'm going to come straight through the middle unannounced and take the championship. Yeah. Now, it's too early to say whether he will or not, but he's in a great position. He's in the fastest car, we know that. And his mindset at the moment seems a lot clearer than that of Norris.
Yeah. Emily, coming to you as an Australian, a proud Australian, what does it mean for you and how's that been received, do you reckon, back at home? Is it everyone's getting behind his push?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting. I mean, we were saying earlier, it's the first time in nearly 15 years, I think, since an Australian's led the championship. And the Daniel Ricciardo heartbreak of it all was tough for the country. But it feels like now everyone really understands Oscar. They understand he's a very different character to Daniel, but he, you know, is funny in a very different way and people love him there. So
that was tough for everyone to watch, wasn't it? I think Singapore, watching him trudge through the paddock, we were there for that.
It was pretty much quite teary in the mid zone and everything, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was, you know, very, very, very sad. Talking about sad, Lando Norris, very sad after the last race.
Yeah,
I mentioned before that he's 10 points behind Oscar Piastri, but there's a sense that he's throwing this away, isn't there? Like, you know, he came into the season as the pre-season favourite to win the title. He won in Australia, everything was looking rosy. We were 4 races on from that, and he looks like, you know, full of dejection.
Well, he won the only race really that was wet dry, that had those trickier conditions, that drivers went off, Piastri went off. Yeah. When it's been almost everyone equal, everyone on the level playing field, he's not been delivering, has he? Yeah. Max has won in Japan. Oscar Piastri won two races since then. Three races since then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like, he needs a weekend where he goes out and delivers from start to finish in conditions like we've got here, even though we're all wearing black. Like, he knows he needs a strong weekend that he goes, these are my title credentials. I can beat Oscar Piastri when all things are equal. I can beat Max Verstappen. I've got the head to go out there and do it. Does he believe that himself, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, this is an important race for him, isn't it? He knows he's got to turn the tide, start getting momentum back. But he's doing it at the perfect location. This is obviously where he broke his F1 duck. His first win in Formula One, for McLaren last year. Yeah. So much emotion. And that kind of kick-started McLaren's full revival. They'd been looking good for a number of years, but there was a sense of belief, wow, we can win, we can do it.
Yeah.
And they've obviously gone on from there, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, this time last year, it was a phenomenal feeling in the paddock. I think it had felt, you know, inevitable for a long time. Everyone was so happy for Lando, and it really felt like he had that momentum behind him. And as we said, you know, that was the swing for McLaren to, you know, win the championship, come into this season with the best car. But, you know, as you say, Lando seems to be struggling.
Struggling. Red Bull. I'm going to come to you with
good.
That word.
Like
Do you
it.
See what I'm doing?
Very good.
12 months ago, Adrian Newey was announced that he was leaving Red Bull. It has been a very difficult time for Red Bull. Max Verstappen did win the title, but it was very tight. He has won this year. You know, that was a great win that he achieved in Japan. But things aren't looking so good, are they? And especially in that second car.
Yeah, I think you look at it there. I suppose by this point last year, he was still looking dominant, and then the drop was starting to come.
Yeah.
Adrian Newey leaving obviously didn't really affect the team in terms of on track, what the car's doing, but it was just another one of those almost kicks in the gut that the team didn't need at a time when we'd been through the whole Christian Horner issue and things like that. Max Verstappen, though, just showing that he's cream of the crop for me, because if you had a bog-standard driver in that seat number one, this team could be midfield now. Yeah. You know, the car has been that bad at times, but he's... last season as well, dragged it around to a world championship. This year, won in Japan. Saudi Arabia arguably would have won if he hadn't got the penalty. I think he should have got the penalty, but if he hadn't, you know, he only finished two seconds down the road from Oscar Piastri. So he's ragging that car around, but it's so built up and designed for him to get the best out of it that whoever they're putting next to it is just struggling. Like, Liam Lawson got two races, you know. Is that enough for anybody to get to grips with that technology? Yuki Tsunoda goes in, I think he's done okay. Couple of accidents here and there, a couple of errors here and there, but looks like he's going to get at least the rest of this year to do that. But all I'm, and this is teeing you up now, all that is doing really is saying that maybe Sergio Perez wasn't quite as bad as everyone thought he was.
Yeah, Sergio Perez, obviously he is a name that is being mentioned this weekend. Cadillac are doing an announcement. They're doing it here on Saturday night, is it? Many people expected Sergio Perez to be part of that announcement. We don't know for sure, but there is momentum and talk, and, you know, his dad's now talking again in the press about his son and talking about how unfair it was at Red Bull. Could he really be a name that Cadillac are looking for?
It's interesting because we haven't seen him at all since he's left the seat. It's been a bit of a mystery, but apparently he is here this weekend. And Cadillac, as far as we know, have not locked in their drivers. They're not promoting this event as being linked to any driver announcements. As far as we know, it's really just delivery, and they're saying we're going to have huge Hollywood A-listers here. We're going to have big sporting stars. So curious to see who they're kind of promoting on that side of things. But I'm not too sure. I think even if Sergio is in consideration, it's not going to be confirmed this weekend.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about, isn't there? And I think that's what we're really excited for. The amount of stories that are going to be coming your way on motorsport.com, and just taking in, we said it at the start, the vibe. I think that's going to be really, really important this weekend.
Well, yeah, the Saturday sums that up, doesn't it? Cadillac saying we're going to have A-listers, we're going to have sports stars. A few years ago, those A-listers and sports stars wouldn't want to come and be associated with Formula One or a Formula One team or in a Formula One event.
Yeah.
Now they're almost queuing up to get the passes to get in the door, aren't they?
Cool. Fantastic. You can catch up with all the news on motorsport.com over the next couple of days. And if you fancy joining us for Race Centre Live on Sunday, joining us are the P1 boys, and they're going to be joining you, Emily. You're going to be part of that broadcast. The link is going to be in the description. There'll be a chance to chat on there, to win prizes, to have quizzes. Please join us. That's Race Centre Live on Sunday.